I want to pick up where we left off last week in our Sunday school lesson. I'm doing a series this month called Eroded Foundations, and we're going to be looking at various passages of Scripture, but I wanted to pick up where I left off last time, talking about the five institutions that are under attack today, the five foundations that God has laid in His Word for institutions that Satan in these last days has targeted his guns against. First of all is human volition. That's you. You're a sovereign individual, and you have sovereign choices. And, of course, we've expanded that today to include all kinds of things that were already settled. We've expanded it today that the human volition can change its sex, that the human volition can change its existence and identifies anything that it wants to identify with. Well, obviously, those things are fantastical, their fantasy, and yet that's what the sovereign will has been allowed or granted by today's people groups, and we need to understand that. Marriage is under attack. You know, in the Bible, it is considered the basic organization of society. God said that marriage is for believers and unbelievers. Unbelievers are to get married. He established that. And that marriage is between a male and a female only. Isn't it interesting how that in today's culture we have seen the conscription of husband and wife applied to a man and a woman and a woman? Right? The Bible says that a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. So what do? They conscripted those titles and they apply them to whoever or whatever they want to. That's an attack upon a foundation. If the biblical doctrine of marriage is violated on a widespread scale, it leads to disintegration of a society and a nation. And that's what we see today. We are crumbling around the world because marriage has been attacked and transformed into something else. Thirdly, we see the basic unit of society being the family. Oh, that's been under attack for 100 years. The whole concept of family. This institution was established for the purpose of rearing and training children. That was the entire meaning and purpose of family. And the teaching of children to respect authority, the teaching of the respect of rights of others, the teaching of respect for common law established in society, to respect the property, person, and privacy of others. And we learned that in Genesis chapters 4 through 10. You remember what happened? Every man began to do that which was right in his own eyes and follow the imagination of their wicked hearts. What crumbled at that time in Genesis 6? It was the whole concept of family. That's what was destroyed. And so God had to bring judgment upon the earth with a universal flood. And I had to start all over again with one what? Family. Noah and his wife. He had his sons and their wives. All right, that was the basic core. And he started all over again. He had to reestablish a new foundation. Because the previous foundation had been eroded, had been destroyed. Now, God's going to do this again, by the way. He's going to have a new heaven, and He's going to have a new earth. Now, He's promised that He would never destroy the earth again by a universal flood. Every time you see a rainbow, that's a reminder that God is not going to destroy the earth again with water. The next time He destroys it, He's going to do it with fire. Understand that. The Bible says that very clearly. And then you have human government. That's the fourth area that I have identified up here. Human government is under attack today, where we do not want any kind of authoritarian government. Did you hear in Chicago this morning that they are a little over 3,000 officers down in their city? They can't get new recruits to come in. As a matter of fact, in 1 year, they've only hired 200, but they lost 893. The reason for that is they don't feel supported by their city government. They've been attacked by their mayor and their city government. An alderman that was on this morning said, "We haven't supported our police officers. Why would I want to go out every day and get shot at, knowing not only do these citizens that I'm trying to protect not protecting me, but those behind me are not protecting me? I don't blame them one whit." What's happened? We have a denigration of human government, where we're blaming all the ills of society on the police. Are the people in human government taking any kind of the fault is with us? Oh no, not them. It's always somebody else. Always somebody else's fault. By the way, one of the greatest lessons you can teach your child or your grandchildren is not to alibi and blame other people. We've got to teach them that they have to accept responsibility for their own actions. Now, obviously, if they haven't done it, they've been accused of something, haven't done it, then they, you know, we need to understand that. We need to investigate. But at the same time, we need to teach them about right and wrong and stepping up and taking up responsibility whenever they're wrong. Now, that seems to be missing today. Not just missing in society, but missing today in church. We don't believe in that anymore. And that's exactly what the Bible teaches. Human government is under attack. And then the fifth one is the local church. Now, this was established later. It comes along in the New Testament. But nonetheless established by God, because Jesus Christ said, "Upon this foundation I will build my church." And who is the foundation? It's not Peter. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the local church. Why did God raise up the local church? He raised it up for the last times. It's our job to go out into a dark and dying world and to give the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be an example and a lighthouse to all those around us that we're not like the world. We're not like the world. We don't do the same things that the world does. We do what God wants us to do. And is the church under attack today? Oh, is it ever? It is unbelievable what we're calling church today. It's nothing more than a secular gathering where we do what we want, and the Bible has a very small role to play in any of it. But what's wrong with that? Well, we've left our foundation. The foundation has been eroded. So these five divine institutions have been attacked by Satan, continue to be attacked by Satan, and we need to understand that. And we have a responsibility. And I'm going to be talking about that a little bit today. I want you to remember this axiom of the left. Now, we talk about the left and the right, but there's bad people on the far right too. All right? There's bad people on both sides. If you stick your hand in the sand and say, "There's only one good group of people, it's conservatives." Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's conservatives that live like the devil. What's our responsibility? Live according to the Word of God. But I want you to see this. This has become the mantra of today. Desperate people will cling to delusional promises. Keep them what? Desperate. Do you realize that Satan knows exactly what he's doing in these last days? Do you realize that he is inspiring people to be desperate all the time? We have lived in 2 years of desperation. We don't need to live that way, but that's what's happened to us in our society today, and it's being ginned up by people that want you to cling to delusional promises. They're constantly making promises that cannot be kept. They're delusional. But because we're desperate, we'll cling to just about anything. What will be the success of Antichrist when he appears on the earthly scene? He will be bringing to himself a desperate world that's been ginned up to be that way. And because of satanic work in this world, we have it this way. How many of you have ever heard of gaslighting? Everybody know what gaslighting is? Yeah, that's where you have a lantern and you put gas to it and then you light it off. That's what I used to think too. But this is a term that it means a form of manipulation. Now listen to this. Gaslighting attempts to sow seeds of doubt in the target. It is used to make you question your memory, your perception, and your own sanity. How many of you have questioned that over the past 2 years? Yeah. Wow. It's a constant barrage. Psychology Today even commented on gaslighting. It defines it as a tactic in which a person or entity, in order to gain more power, makes a victim question their reality. And what happens when you get people to question their reality? They take their own lives. They take fentanyl. They take opioids. You realize our nation is a druggy nation? Oh, that's an overstatement. Let me tell you something. You go talk to our sheriff's deputies, they're training all the time. I appreciate them. You know what they're training for? Drug interdiction. We've got a massive problem. I don't know if you heard about this past week, but a 14-year-old boy committed suicide, left on a cruise boat. His parents had bought him a cruise, 14 years old, for his birthday. They left New Orleans. They didn't even make it to Cancun. He had jumped off the top deck. They searched for several hours, taking the boat in a figure-eight pattern, trying to find him. The parents go back, and they find a note that was stored on his phone. He had left his phone. He left a note. He said, "Sorry about messing up your birthday wishes. I didn't want any part of it." He took his own life. Now, can you imagine? They helicoptered the family off the boat, took them back to New Orleans. They found the body of their son washed up in the northern part of the Yucatan Peninsula where it had washed down. They found it had his body returned 14 years of age, had no hope in this world. Do you know what the suicide rates are now in the United States? They're through the roof. Why are people taking their lives? They're desperate. They're desperate. Why are they desperate? Because they look at this world and they say there's just no hope. Who do they need to be pointed to? The Savior. There is hope. I want to tell you, there's story after story of individuals who were at the end of their rope and they came to Jesus Christ, came to faith in Him. Their life was completely and totally transformed. And they were put on the road of righteousness. And their desperation ended. What's happening in America is an erosion of the foundation. We're being gaslighted by Satan. We're being targeted. Maybe what we're believing isn't true after all. You better anchor your heart and mind and soul to the Word of God. Let me give you an example of gaslighting. This just happened not too long ago. But on CNN on June the 5th, 2020, they ran an article on their website citing an open letter signed by 1,000 health professionals pleading with the federal and state law enforcement officials the following. Now listen. "Do not shut down the George Floyd and defund the police protests using coronavirus concerns as an excuse." 1,000 health professionals signed this document pleading with federal and state officials not to shut down the protest. Don't use coronavirus. And yet these same individuals are using coronavirus today for whatever they want to do with it. This is a classic form of gaslighting, eroding the foundations of common sense reality. If people are being shot at and killed and businesses being destroyed, the protest has gone too far. Do I hear an amen? Isn't that amazing? We've turned reality upside down. It makes no sense. But that's the way they want it. It's called gaslighting. And Christian, if you're not careful, you'll be gaslighted, you'll fall for it, and you'll be right with the millions of other people following along when Satan has his way. Now, what do you need to do? What do we need to do as believers? We need to be familiar with what a true foundation is. I think this is so important. Whenever Beth and I were building our house, we were told we had to get build it up because it was too low. Had to bring in all kinds of dirt. I told you about this last week. And we had to have soil compression tests done over and over and over again. We failed it 4 times. Finally, got it packed down enough where it passed. And we built the foundation for our house and built our house on top of that. And it's lasted now for almost, 21 years that we've been in the house. I'm thankful that we did all that work. Got it all done and did it right. What if we hadn't? What if I just decided, we're not going to worry with that. We're not going to worry about packing all that soil down. It's just a waste of time. First of all, what am I doing? I'm setting myself up as an authority on foundations when I am not. Who's the authority on foundations? Can anybody tell me? We're talking about human foundations on houses. Who's the authority on that? Okay. Well, I called my friend Bubba. And Bubba came up and he stepped on it and said it was good enough. Well, guess what? Bubba's not an expert. We have people that work for the permitting office that come out and they have these handy dandy tools that they know how to use. And they do soil compaction tests. And they find out how much that house is going to stay up. If the foundation is going to crack in a million places because it's not compacted like it's supposed to be. They came out and said, you got to do it again. You got to do it again. You got to do it again. And when we did it again, we got it right. Are foundations important? Yes. But in America and in the church today, we've got some pretty lousy foundations being built. The foundations of our homes, what used to be the foundation of a federal government, is being destroyed by people who are pursuing selfish ideas. They just want to live where the government takes care of everything and they don't have to do a thing. You know how many millions of people are sitting at home right now that could be working? They're bragging about the low employment rate that we have. Oh, that's wonderful. But yeah, we have 103 million people that don't have a job now. Get this, 103 million that aren't working. And what do they get every month? A little check in the mail. Now, where's that money coming from? Well, we're printing it just as fast as we can. How long is that going to last? When inflation overwhelms our nation, because we just keep printing more and more money, we're just going to print our way out of this. Has that worked for any other nations? How many of you would like to move down to, Venezuela? Is that where they collapsed as a country, did the same thing? They moved from a capitalistic culture to a socialistic culture, and now it's just poverty. Poverty, and they're sitting on all kinds of oil. But they can't sell it because of their government. The government now took over all the things, and so they're trying to find buyers, and they've got so many problems with trying to get that out there in the supply chain situation. They can't deliver it, and they're not making any money. It doesn't work, does it? What have we done? We've turned reality upside down. And we say, this is the new normal. Isn't that wonderful? This is the new normal. I don't want it. You shouldn't either. But that's where we've come today. I want to invite some of you to help me at this point. I've got the microphone set up in the middle here, but I need some folks to look up some Bible verses. So I'm going to call upon you. And if you don't mind just slipping out, walking up to the mic, because we have to record this, so we'll have it for the website. But I need someone to look up Matthew 7, 24 through 27. John, can I get you to do that? Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Dad, would you look up 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13? 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13. Dad, can you look that up? Okay. Isaiah 28, 16. Ryan, if you could look that up. Let's see. Brother Mike, would you look up, please, 2 Timothy 2, 19? John, would you look up Hebrews 11, 10? Brother Bill, would you look up Colossians 1, 16 through 17? Brother Patrick, 2 Peter 3, 17. And Brother Jerry, would you look up Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8? Now, we need to identify what a true foundation is. This is so important. A true foundation is one that lasts in the middle of the storm. Nobody wants a foundation that's going to wash out the first time we have a storm come along. Brother Gamble, would you read for us, please, if you could come up and read for us Matthew 7, 24 through 27, this classic passage on foundations. Matthew 7, 24 through 27.
Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Thank you. Now notice what Jesus says here. Any person that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto an individual who built his house upon a rock. Now get the picture here. Because he says alternatively, anyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. Now, what's the picture that's given here? You don't have a firm foundation if you're not listening to the sayings of Jesus Christ and what else? Do them. You don't have a firm foundation. Allah, where are we today in the church? We have a lot of people that carry their Bibles with them. They've got their Bibles on their phones. They got them in all kinds of places around the house, but we rarely open them. And we rarely do what's written in them. That indicates a problem. Our foundation is being eroded. Let's go on to the next one, Dad. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13.
For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
Yeah, every man's work of what sort it is. What foundation did you build on? And how did you build on it? That's the picture that's given to us there. Who's the true foundation according to that passage? Jesus Christ. Very important. Isaiah 28, 16.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
He that what? Believeth. So we have this tried, true stone, precious stone, a precious cornerstone upon which to build. Only those who believe build on it. That's the picture. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, Brother Mike.
Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
All right. Again, the foundation is linked to those who name the name of Christ. We're identifying what the real foundation is, what it looks like, and who are attracted to it. It's those who name the name of Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 11, 10. Brother John?
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Yeah. Speaking of Abraham, he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. The true foundation. Let's go on to Colossians 1, 16 through 17, Brother Bill. Colossians 1, 16 through 17.
For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
All right. Again, the word foundation is not mentioned there, but it's implied. It's implied. He's made and built all things. 2 Peter 3:17, Brother Patrick.
Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Fall from your own steadfastness. In the Greek language, it's the idea, fall from your own foundation. That's the word that's used there. Why would you fall from your own foundation? Because you took your eyes off the Lord, got your eyes on something else. Remember Peter on the water? He went out of the boat. Jesus said, come out of the boat. Come unto me. And he got out and he walked. And as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked right on that water. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, we're told, and began to see the enormous waves that were all around him, he began to what? Sink. Now, he wasn't walking on the water because he had great power. He wasn't walking on the water because he was someone special. He was in the inner circle. Only the inner circle could walk on the water. No. He walked on the water because Christ commanded him to come out of the boat. Right? Obedience. What was the first sin? Disobedience. Peter obeyed, came out of the boat, walked on the water until he took his eyes off Jesus, and then he began to sink beneath the waves. And the Lord reached down, and when he touched his hand in the Mark account that's given to us there, and straightway they were in the boat. They went from standing out there on the water, and they were standing in the boat. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. You've got to keep your eyes on him. Jeremiah 17:5-8.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
All right, a picture of a tree. What's the foundation of a tree? Roots. Digging into the soil. All right, they take a hold of the soil and they send their roots all around there. And that tree can withstand. This tree out here on this playground is just amazing to me. It has been through every major hurricane. Just about all the pine trees around it came over in the storms and it just stood right there. Why? It's got a firm foundation. It can withstand. And by the way, it's the winds of adversity throughout time that cause the roots to be stimulated to dig deeper. You need to understand that. It's winds of adversity that stimulate the growth of roots on a tree. Now, have you had your roots stimulated to grow into Jesus Christ? Well, the way it happens is adversity comes along. Tough challenges come along. And what is that God's desire in all of that? He wants you to dig your roots deeper down into Him because He is your foundation. This is so important. It seems so simple to us, does it not? And yet it seems to be something that we just cannot grasp these days. We don't want to be stimulated to sink our roots down deeper into Jesus Christ. We want to put our roots deeper in this world. We want to get all we can get out of this world. It has nothing to give you, only to take from you. That's what the world does. It doesn't give you anything. It takes away from you. But if you grow in Jesus Christ, you have all the glories of heaven and the presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God and the Father in heaven and an eternal home that can never be taken away from you. And the picture is given that in Jesus Christ, no one can separate you from the love of God. But you got to send your roots down deeper. You got to get them in Jesus Christ. I want us to look at the erosion of the foundation, and we're not going to get very far with this part of it here, but I want to talk about this phrase right here. The power of collective demonization. The power of collective demonization. We live in a world where people are joining together to demonize certain things. That's the collective aspect of it. All kinds of groups getting together, coalescing together around certain things. Diversity of opinion is now being demonized. And where does that put us as believers? It just so happens to be that the world hates the Bible. It just so happens to be that the world hates Christ. And therefore, if you follow the Bible and you follow Christ, you're going to be hated and despised. Just like that lady that I read about this morning. By the way, her name is Shamira Nakoto. She lost her life. She was choked to death and hung by her husband because she went to a Baptist church. By the way, she had made a profession of faith the previous Sunday. She was scared to death of her husband, what was going to happen. But she came and she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the second Sunday she brought her two children with her, the 3-year-old and the 8-year-old. And it was on that Sunday that she was snatched out of the church, taken home and killed by her husband. Why? Because she dared to leave the narrative of that community. What was the collective belief? Islam. All right? You ventured outside that, therefore you don't deserve to what? Live. And this is where collective demonization leads to people dying. Now we're finding this to be more and more true around the world. That people apart from the foundation of Jesus Christ will eventually come to the place where law and order is defined how I think it should be, and therefore becomes the Wild West all over the world, and people take lives of individuals because they don't fit a certain accepted narrative. They don't accept the collective belief of the community. And it's being spelled out pretty clearly today. It's being spelled out. Whenever you have reality being thwarted and twisted to become a new reality, to try to amend the minds of people by making something look different than what it really is, you get into deep trouble. And that's what's happening today. You cannot believe and promote a narrative different than the current narrative that's being changed. But what's different about it is that the narrative is constantly morphing. It never stays the same. It's constantly changing and morphing. I was listening this morning. I didn't know about this, but what the number one tennis star in the world is being in a forced quarantine in Australia. How many of you have read about that? Okay. He went to the Australian Open to play tennis. And when he came off the airplane, he was met by Australian authorities and he was taken to a holding place. And he's been there ever since. Yesterday, one of the number one women showed up for the Australian Open. She did not have her official vaccine card. Therefore, she was taken into custody. And she is in a room. She's not allowed to participate. Now, what is that? The top star said, I've already had COVID twice. Okay? Said, I have natural immunity. Oh, no, you don't. You don't have natural. Now, they won't test for it. Why are they not testing for it? Wouldn't you think that'd be a common sense thing? If you've had COVID already, that you would want to know what is my immunity level? Because all viruses that you have and you overcome, you're still alive, you have some level of what we call immunity. We've always believed that until 2 years ago. All right? All of a sudden, it's been sapped out of everybody's minds. It's a new narrative. Oh, we don't believe in natural immunity. What kind of ignorance is that? Oh, it's just normal. It's just the way it's always been. Again, attacking a normal standard is called natural immunity. And we attack that and we demean it and we demonize it until you're forced to do what? At least they think you will be. You're forced to do what they say to do. That's where we're at today. You cannot believe, you cannot promote a different narrative than the current narrative that we say is in effect right now. And you say, well, Pastor Ty, why are you emphasizing this? Because this is the mantra of Antichrist. This is the mantra of Antichrist. You do what we say. We don't have to do what we say. Politicians flocking to Florida from around the country and going maskless. It's okay in Florida. And then they get back on their plane, they put their mask back on, and they go back and say, you got to wear your mask everywhere you go. But they don't have to do that. Why? Do what we say, not what we do. It's a control thing. Remember the gaslighting? That's what it is. It's a manipulation to cause you to question yourself, cause you to think, well, maybe I'm not right about this. And maybe they are right about that. Well, sometimes they may be. When I was a kid, polio was a real thing. Anybody remember people with polio? I had a boy in my class. A boy in my class that spent the early years of his childhood in an iron lung. He had polio. When he came out, he couldn't walk. He was in metal. I remember the leg braces. We helped him put him on. Whenever he would go sit down in the class, we'd take them off for him, put it on for him. He was a polio victim. And I remember going and standing in line and getting my polio shot. Wasn't fun. I got all kinds of other shots too. I used to have these guns. Anybody remember the guns from back in the 60s and 70s? And you lied, I don't know whether they were reusing the same needle over and over again or not. But I remember standing there, you lift up your sleeve, lift up my sleeve, my tiny little arm showing, and they put that thing in there, and you didn't think a thing about it. I know this, though. I haven't had polio. Okay? I was vaccinated for that. But now, we're changing the narrative. Now we're going into all kinds of different things. What's going to move beyond the mandate thing? What else are they going to mandate? I would imagine if we took a poll around here, we could come up with some pretty good ideas about what they're going to mandate. And I'm going to tell you one of them that's on the list that's coming. If you don't believe in evolution, you don't believe in the narrative of what we're putting out in our colleges and universities, you don't believe what the politicians are saying about certain things, you're going to go to jail. You don't deserve to be out in public. They're already talking about those that have not been vaccinated, that they should be denied any kind of travel. They should be denied any kind of purchasing power. What does that sound like? Mark of the beast? You can't go buy in the grocery store unless you've received the mark of the beast? That's what we're headed. We're being prepared for this. We're being prepared for this. And so we need to understand that. Number two, the stirring of hatred for the Bible and biblical truths has long been the object of collective demonization. That's long been the objective. People who believe the Bible. Now, you know, how many of you have heard of flat earthers? Okay. Flat earthers have been around for a long time. I had a conversation with an individual out here. He was a person that was involved in a local church in the area that was a flat earth preacher that was preaching, that's what I said. And I said, well, what do you do with passages that teach us that the Lord sitteth upon the circle of the earth? Okay? And what do you do when you go up in an airplane and you're flying along and you see the curvature of the horizon? What does that not cause you to question a little bit? You see, the Bible's already spoke to that. The Bible says he sitteth upon the circle. By the way, in the Hebrew, that word circle is the word globe. The globe of the earth. It's circular. All right? God's already said that. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Do you know for thousands of years, people were bled to try to get the diseases out? As a matter of fact, in 1310, they came out with a chart. Okay? It was called the Plethora chart, or the Plethoras chart. And they had all the different bleeding spots where you were to cut people to get certain diseases out of your body. Did you know that certain diseases existed only in your toes? So they had places where you were supposed to cut to bleed out that section to get that disease out. How many of you consider that to be healthy? That's the way they believed. The first president of the United States at age 66 was bled to death trying to get the disease out. He had pneumonia. But he died. But the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, the Bible says the truth. And we're going to pick up with this, Lord willing. There's a stirring of hatred. Oh, the Bible doesn't speak to any of these things. The Bible has nothing to do with that. Oh, it does. And we have a responsibility to find out what God has said and build our lives on it. And don't run away. Don't be a coward when the pressures come. And it's coming. Because the foundations are being eroded. Father in heaven, I pray that you would teach us today. Lord, we're not anti-vaxxers. Lord, we're not trying to create a controversy where one does not exist, but we see what's happening in our world today, and we realize that this is all part of a greater work of Satan. This collective demonization of anything and everything related to the Bible, marriage, personal will, the church, all of these great doctrines, human government, being eroded and destroyed because we want to set up the time in which Antichrist rules and reigns upon this earth. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to realize what's happening and that we might be building our lives upon the firm foundation and teaching our children to build their lives on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. We ask these things, dear Father, in your precious name. Amen.